All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I'm super happy to see so many of you here because I just realized that there's a Mark and Mark in the other room. So saw it this morning. I honestly haven't dared to see who I'm against with the time slot. So if there's Minasi and Rusinovic talking in the other room, and you're not still going, so sounds good. TechEd Week is coming to an end, and it's time to kind of wrap up things with the last session that I have. We're going to talk about black belt security. This session is built to be a presentation of the onion model of security, meaning that we're going to have a story of a normal user, a limited user, trying to elevate himself up the ladders as much as possible in a company. So we're going to go through different scenarios on how to hack an environment. And as I've been walking through the aisles for the last few days here, everyone's been telling that TechEd is all about scaring people. But no one seems to be telling you how to mitigate this stuff. So we're definitely going to go through with both the dangers and threats and also the solutions for those. So we're going to go through both. There's another Finnish guy. There's not that many of us speaking in TechEd, so there's Joona speaking about mitigating stuff with Emmet. After this, there's a session by him, so I'm personally going to go there after this. I'm finally off duty, so I'm going to go there. So my name is Sami Laiho. I'm bet some of you have been to my sessions before, so I'm not going to go through that much of introduction this time. I work for a Finnish training company, and I also have my own company. If you want to follow me on Twitter or get my newsletter, please do. So I'm an MVP in the Windows OS, and I've been such for about 4 years now. I've been training IT troubleshooting and security for about 15 years. As promised, there's still some swag left, about 50 of them. So if you want to get not a t-shirt like last year, but the Järjestelmävalvoja baseball lids, there's still a few left. So rules are the same. If someone by some reason didn't catch what it means, it's administrator in the Finnish user interface of Windows. Rules are, I need a business card or an email address. Yesterday, people ran to the stage and gave me business cards, but also quite many of you only had the email address, and you were telling me, like, can I tell you the email address? I won't remember it. I hope I have a pen and some paper. If you got business cards, that's the preferred method of delivering it, but as I said, there's about 50 left, so let's see. There's so many of you, so of course, not enough for everyone. There's a few projects of mine related straight to this session. I've been talking about troubleshooting and I've been talking about BitLocker, but my own company deals especially with stuff that is related to this session. I've never delivered this session before in TechEd. The two previews I had, I've already delivered in US, but this is the first time ever for this one. So my company does a single sign-on, single administrative access application, meaning that you can get one-time admin access for computers. And I do consulting on how to remove administrative rights from end users. So this is definitely the session that is closest to my heart, personally. My clicker is almost working. Before we can get to the technical stuff, we have to talk a little bit about the human factor. So we will go through lots of technical stuff. So we will go through technical ways of penetrating the operating system. But first, we have to talk a little bit about the weakest link anyway. So human factor. I've got two stories to tell you. Both are brand new. First one, last week in Norway. Who's from Norway? Wow. Oops, let's change to the next one. This will be more scary to you than for the rest of the people, maybe. I was training in Norway last week, the week before I came here. I was there for 5 days, and on Friday I flew back home, went back home to count the kids, and then I left to Barcelona. And what happened was something I honestly thought would never happen. And I talked to people that have been running hotels around the world for more than 20 years, and none of them or their colleagues had never heard of a story like this. So what actually took place, it's in a written format that's here as well, so if you look at the slides later on, but I'll tell you the story. So I went to a hotel in Oslo, in the dead center of Oslo, and I went to the hotel. I was given a key card like normally. I went upstairs to the sixth floor, tried to open my room, I couldn't open it. Went downstairs, told them, got a new one, walked up, couldn't open it. Went downstairs, told them, and they said, well, you don't have to go alone upstairs anymore because it might be that the battery has run out of the lock, so they will come with me with the charger and they will charge the lock. So they came up, charged the lock, gave me a new key, didn't work. So the guy took his own key, opened the door, and it worked. Okay, I'll let you in, but during some time tonight, you have to come downstairs to get a new key. But I'll let you in now so you can get settled and when you come down. So I went outside just before midnight and went downstairs, and there was this nice looking young girl working in the reception. And I spoke to her and told her that I was told to be here and pick up a new key. So I took the new key and I went upstairs and I couldn't open the door. I was honestly talking. Two ways to solve this. The blunt Finnish way of going downstairs and start yelling at her like I've been running up and stairs six times, so you get me in my room now, or the polite way. So I went down, calmed myself, and asked her that I honestly still can't get up. The key that you're giving me is like this really thin key, but your colleague had a thick plastic key, and that seems to work. So maybe it's because there's a contact error or something that the key just doesn't work. So do you think you could use the other material? So if you could just give me a key that your colleague had, which would be thicker, so perhaps that would work. She went to the back room, came back to me, and told me that here's the key, but you can't tell anyone because it can open any door in the hotel. So there I was, thinking about how to do it. My working in the security area and my work ethics tell me that I have to solve this issue somehow. On the other hand, the girl was only trying to help me. So for the past 4 years, I haven't anymore paid for the... If you know, there's this voluntary payment for Wikipedia. They ask you, send you emails if you would like to offer some money. I did it always because I think it's an awesome service and they don't get paid. So I paid it, but for the past 4 years I haven't paid it anymore because I got married and my wife seems to know everything, so I don't really... I never use Wikipedia anymore. I just ask her. If she doesn't know it, I don't need to know it. So I called Wikipedia, I mean my wife, and I called her and told her what happened. And she was like, as sad as it is, I think the girl needs to find another job. So then I took a picture of me with the master key and sent it to the CEO of the hotel chain and also the country lead in Norway and also the manager of the hotel. Half an hour, nothing happened, but then someone knocked on my door. We believe that you have the wrong key in your possession. Maybe. And they took the key from me, gave me another room, and then they called me. Every ladder of the management called me personally to say how much they wanted to apologize, and then I had a meeting with the hotel lead next day. And after I finished my training, I went to meet her, and she asked me, like, is there any way we could keep you happy? Because I did send the email with the huge logo in the signature saying, "Tecet Barcelona, I'm speaking." So, is there any way we could keep you happy? It's like, I believe in good karma, so I do good things come to me. So I'm fine. But she really knew how to play it because she asked me, "What about the wife?" Well, she might appreciate something. So then they gave me a free weekend in any of their hotels around the world. So now my wife can go to a nice hotel one weekend. But I honestly never thought that would happen. There are things that we never believed that would happen. This was one that happened personally to me. But so that you Norwegian people aren't worried that people would think Norwegian are the people who would do something like this, I have a story from Finland. Because this is only like 2 days or 3 days old. And what just happened in Finland was that they actually trying to build this biggest car shopping center. So it's like a huge car park with like 16 different car sales, different car companies, and like a shopping center but meant only for shopping cars. They're trying to build it, it's going to cost 150 million euros, but they've had some trouble with the funding. So now the CEO of the company, finally, just a few weeks ago, was able to get the funding for the 150 million euros. And he contacted the city that had sold him the plot and convinced them. So the city was convinced with this story, and so were the people who were going to build it. Because the guy had just got an offer of 30 million euros from the UK. It was actually, the money originated from Regina Chilupa. She's the widow of a former Zambian president, Frederick Chilupa. And the CEO sent 336,000 euros to an unknown man in UK. Well, actually, he couldn't send it because his transaction was frozen. So the Finnish bank saw that someone is trying to send to an unknown people money of more than 336,000 euros, so they stopped it. And now the last thing I read on the newspaper before I flew here was that the CEO was totally pissed because they've stopped the transfer. So he got his money back from the police, and what did he do? Well, he resend it, so. That's like, He didn't give up. He really wants to get his 30 million euros. Okay. If you read the newsletters from different security companies, F-Secure from Finland, Symantec, Trend Micro, whatever, all of them and their CTOs or CEOs have said that their solutions will not be able to protect your computers in the future. Open in the public, no one's denying it, they know it. So reactive solutions are not enough. We do need to go proactive. So that's the biggest deal we're going to talk about today. How we're going to change from reactive protection to proactive protection. Reactive solutions could be considered anything that's trying to find something that someone else has already found, basically. So that means that you're working with thumbprints, you're working with, well, some antivirus solutions, yeah, they do use heuristics, but still 99% of the products are using thumbprints, fingerprints to find stuff. So basically they're always trying to catch up and they're always late. I'm not going to say that you don't need one. You need it on top of proactive. I would never recommend someone taking their antivirus off and staying only proactive. So you do need it. That's not my recommendation of staying, getting rid of it. But the thing is that you need proactive more. So what we're going to talk about when we talk about protection, proactive protection, then we're going to talk about permission levels. Instead of blacklisting software, we're going to talk about whitelisting, we're going to talk about firewalls, IPsec. One best thing about this is that it doesn't only keep you away from malware, but it also keeps your computer running smoothly. I was in UK having a lunch with some big banks from Europe, or their security people, and we were talking about this, and I think one of the people said and told me a great story. So he said that they have their intranet that has their policies in place that people can read them. So the instructions that people quite often never read. But the thing is that they had the same security policy that they did before, but they haven't called it security policy for the past 2 years. Because when people see something that says security policy, it instantly seems to most of the people like it's something that's preventing them from doing what they want. So now they had changed the name from security policy to something like well-performing computer policy. So they had like not everyone, but at least like the double amount of people reading the freaking thing in the first place. So I know that's the hardest part, is to get the info to the people and make sure they read it. That's one of the most important layers in security, is the awareness. And you taking measures to make sure that they would be aware of stuff. If we think about well-performing computers, I'll tell you a personal story. I'm running my computer without admin access, of course. I'm traveling all around. I have no IT. I'm self-employed. I've got my own company. I don't have anyone to rely on. I'm not still running admin rights, and you will see tens of reasons of why not. But why did I stop it in the first place? Because I used to run admin rights until 2002. The story is, you have to forgive me a bit, because I was 16 when I went to work for a company called Pepsi. PepsiCo, actually. And I was only 16. So the morals of a teenager are a bit different than... Now I'm 35, so I've learned a lot. But at that time, when I was given domain admin access to about 30,000 computers, I honestly had like domain admin written on my forehead. Now I have järjestelmä valvoja, but anyway. So I had like domain admin written on my forehead. I was so proud of having that power. I went home one day, and my girlfriend at that time, we were using and sharing a computer at home, and I was one of those guys that believed that Windows needs to be reinstalled every 6 months to 12 months, just to keep it running smoothly. We didn't have any SSDs, we even didn't know what they were. But the thing is that if you just reinstall it every 6 to 12 months, it just works so smooth, so I did it, always. Then I had the computer, I came to my computer and I opened up Outlook, and Outlook was running quite normally, but full of yellow smileys. There were these smileys popping up and jumping up and down on my screen, and I was like, whoa, what's happening here? And I yelled to my girlfriend, like, what did you do? I found this smileys for a workday app. You don't understand, if you install it, it installs in my profile as well. So I took away my admin rights, and I took away her admin rights. Okay? I didn't get smileys anymore, but that's not the good thing. The good thing is that I reinstalled that computer in the beginning of 2007 after a hard disk failure. So if I got rid of 5 to 10 reinstallations of my machine, that's the personal thing why I don't run admin rights. It's not because of me not being aware where to surf or stuff like that. It's because of me keeping my computers running smoothly. It's not that bad with SSDs, it's because we've got so much speed compared to the old spindles. But still, that's the reason why I started in the first place. I go around companies, and I'm considered to be the most annoying guy, because I'm there to take away their admin rights. I'm there to take all the hate in from the people. I was in a company, 400 people, like almost the same amount of you guys here, a bit less, in an auditorium, telling them what we're going to do. And an angry Finnish guy, stands up and yells to me, you make this sound like we can't do anything except our work on these computers. Like, wow, that took a while. That's my job, anyway. So I hope most of you are not running admin rights on your local boxes, so I hope this is not good, but I'll tell you what I'm against. So I travel all around the world, and these are the stuff that I hear all the time. About 1/4 of Windows 7 Now people are changing from XP to Windows 7, so only about one quarter of the computers anymore have admin rights, mainly laptops usually, because they're not that easy to deal with. We don't use firewalls on the internal network. That's one of the really big ones. There's lots and lots of companies that don't use firewalls on the internal network. Windows since Vista has been built to use a firewall on internal networks as well, so that's against every principle to take it off. Executives get admin rights. That's always a good question to give yourself. When you're like, I'm not going to give admin rights to anyone. You will never get admin rights from me. And then your CEO comes to you and tells you, I need to get admin access to my computer. That's a good exercise, a mental exercise. What are you going to tell him? You will not do the same thing I did when I was 16. Think about it. I was 16 and I only grew up after I turned 20 and went to the army. So I was like this high and 16 years old. And I was against the country lead of this company that was about, let's say, 55. And he's looking down at me and saying, I saw that you have permissions to my home folder. Yeah, administrators have access to your home folder. I want you to take off your permissions to my home folder. I'm like, you know, dude, there's no way in the whole world you would ever be able to prevent me from reading your files. And that's a really, 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 really lousy career decision. Nowadays I know who can kick me out. So that's a good mental exercise. Can you do it? Can you actually say? So I went to US and I was walking to a plane and I was following two guys from a company. They were working for their IT department and I couldn't help myself hearing their conversation because they walked to the door and the other guy was like turning right, going to the business class, and the other guy was turning left and going to the first class. And I saw them there and the guy was like, catch the other guy, like, oh. Company policy says that you can only travel business. You can't travel first class. What have you done? Well, I told the CEO that I'm going to travel in first class and you can use an iPad. So there's like CEOs have so much power that it's basically you have to play nice with them if you want to get something. There's no way of going like this. I'll kick you out. No, you can't kick. No. I can kick you out. So there's always the HR department still beats the admins, although we think that we're quite powerful. Okay. We tried whitelisting but gave up. That's a really common one. I had a city in Finland who used whitelisting with XP. And the whitelist was 8,000 lines long. So we were moving to Windows 7, I took the list, put it to Excel, and used find duplicates, and there were only 2,000 different executables. But they were there for four times, because it's something that everyone's used to thinking about, like, the software might not be working because of this, let's add it. And there's no way of using whitelisting like that. I've got a company with over 30,000 computers working with high secure stuff, and they only have 14 lines. So that's more close to what I'm looking at. It's like 14 lines instead of 8,000. No wonder they got rid of it because it's unusable and there's no way to administer one. So let's take a look at it later on. Mac and Linux are good because they don't need antivirus. You are all smart IT people. You know this is not a place where we're going to say good and bad things about other operating systems. There's nowhere we're going to say that no one in the world will ever use a Mac, no one in the world will never use a Windows, we know better, so we just have to cope with everything. But if you've read the news lately, the biggest security issues that we've had are actually not only in Windows. They were in PowerPoint, the last one, the previous one was for Linux-based devices. So these are just common things that I all the time hear. Proactive security in Windows. We're going to go through some demos. We're going to go through some examples. So let's talk about different measures that we could take. Before we go there, my laptop The Dell Precision one here, just because of a blog article series I'm writing currently about proactive security, I'm not running any antivirus and I've got all my firewall ports open. So that's just, I do a manual scan weekly and post the results to the company who's paying me. But the thing is that it's just to prove my point. And it's a hell of a thing to get rid of Windows Defender on Windows 8.1. Like, you have to have, like, scheduled tasks that all the time look at the processes and shut them down if they start, because it's going to do everything in its power to keep it up and running. I travel on airports more than 150 days a year. Does that make me scared? No way. Because I've got stuff built in that I use. I'm not scared at all, because these are way better than your antivirus or firewall port blocking would ever be. So what I use are app blocker, whitelisting, so I will say if the application can run on my computer or not. I will use IPsec. I will not talk to any one of you unless you have a certificate from my company or your computers belong to my domain. So I will not even respond to any of your... Although I've got all the ports open, that doesn't mean anything, because not a single port will open without negotiating security first. So IPsec is way better than any firewall, so that's the thing that keeps me secure. I'm not running admin rights, so I can't disable my own protections. I'm running BitLocker. You shouldn't be able to hack my computer physically. I'm using a current OS that's up to date, and I've got correct hardware. I'm not running DMA ports. I don't have FireWire. I don't have Thunderbolt on this. So that's my proactive solution, consisting of different levels of security. If you want to look at DMA attacks, that's something I discussed in the first BitLocker session, so I'm not going to go through that here. So you can go and check examples for stealing passwords, for stealing BitLocker keys. Both are widely available. So if you want to, you can get the PowerPoint slides later on. So from the schedule builder, yeah? So you can download them from there and go take a look. So that's something we're not going to deal here. Few demonstrations. Let's start. So, we have a story, as I told you. The story is about the limited user running on a computer here. The first one, I apologize, this is almost the same demo that you've seen before, because I've got different sessions, so I need it in almost every one. What we're going to do is we're going to try to get this user here. He's part of the domain, so let's go, who am I? So he's a normal user. He can't do any admin stuff on this computer. So change date and time, for example, and we get asked for permissions. No rights here. So let's try this a bit in a different way than before. So we'll try this out this time so that I want to elevate myself to be an admin. Let's restart the machine. And boot it up from an external installation media. So it's a Windows 8.1 installation media. And let's press Shift F10. And once again, the same thing about changing the font size. Okay, you can see that. Let's find the Windows drive. Let's go to Windows System 32. Let's copy the sethc.exe to a backup. So let's copy it to the folder below. Let's copy it to the C Windows folder. And then let's replace that with the cmd.exe. So cmd.exe, copy it on top of sethc.exe. Replace, yes please, exit, and we're done. Great thing about videos is that I can do this quite fast, so you can check it from the video later on. Now we're going to do this differently. We're going to hack into the computer, so let's hit the shift key 5 times to get system access, but now let's do it in a bit different way. So I'm going to, instead of using any magical command lines, I'm just going to use the computer management. So let's open up computer management on this computer and let's just add myself to the administrators group. I don't want to use any local accounts, but I want to be an admin. So let's add user. So now user is belonging to the administrators group as well. And let's test this out. So come on, close that down. User. So we're not changing passwords, we're only changing group memberships. Let's try the same thing again. So now we've got a computer clock here, change date time, and change date and time, and here we go. So now we have admin access. Simple one to block. I got lots of questions yesterday after this session, the previous session. So is there a way to block this with policies? There are policies like block sticky keys. There's a policy, there's a register key that you can use to block a sticky keys function, which was the one that I used. There's policies, there's app locker that can try to block using deny rules. But the thing is that you're running Mrs. System. The command prompt you saw was running with Mrs. System. That means that she doesn't obey policies. So policies will not be the answer for you. If you do app locker policies and try to prevent it, system can bypass it. If you use registry settings, the user can change the registry settings. So there's no way of blocking this with basically anything else but encryption. So you need BitLocker to block it. To make it a bit more fun, how did I do this with Windows 10? So how do you find this? I would like you to be able to audit your environments. And as I promised, because we had so much feedback, I will go through with the how to block it as well. So how do we find stuff like this? What you do is you take Process Monitor, and as long as Windows has the problem of running everything before logon using the system context, whoa, there's a nice font size there. Let's take this one. This one has Process Monitor, so we can use this. Run as administrator for Process Monitor, and I'll do a filter for Process Monitor that will be show me every line where the operation is a process start. OPQ, so sorry. Process start. So whenever a process starts, let me know about it. Now we can clean it out. And now what I'll do is I'll just log off the machine. I don't mean log off, I mean I lock it. So I will just actually change this to a normal session on. Here we go. So now Process Monitor is running. And then I'll just try what I can find. This one, is there something to click on? Yes. This one, is there something to click on? Yes. This one, yes. This one has actually a lot of levers, so we can try these out. Let's turn it on, let's turn it off. Whoa, weird things starting to happen. Sticky keys on, off, filter keys on, off. Try all the Windows keys you can come up with. So let's pray Windows P, Windows U. Oops, sorry, we're not even in the... Here we go, Windows U, Windows P. I just clicked the shift so many times, you got the... command prompt, so try out whatever you can. Just click on and bang on every single key you can figure out. Just use Windows and every single letter. Go through all of those. And when you're done, then after that you can log back on. And then you'll just go to Process Monitor and figure out what are the vulnerable executables that you have. So there's a long list now. There's utilman sethc, there's displaySwitch.exe, which are probably ones to look at. There's a lot more happening at the same time, but that's the way I did it with Windows 10. We have a competition with other Finnish guys, who's the quickest one to crack Windows 10, or any Windows that comes out. And luckily, all the other Finnish MVPs were in a link meeting to Redmond, and it had 250 max persons invited. So I was there during the meeting, and then suddenly my internet connection broke, and I was kicked out of the meeting. But because it was maxed out, I couldn't get in anymore. And I was like, come on, guys, you're going to talk about Windows 10, and I'm the only one who can't hear it. But actually, I got lucky, because the bits were published during the meeting. So they were all in the meeting, and I still downloaded all Windows 10 ISO files with like 14 megabytes per second. So, poof, 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 and took about like 13 seconds to crack it, and then I posted it out like, first one, winner, here we go. So that's ridiculous. Honestly, I took process monitor, looked out what the executables are, hacked it, and fine. But the thing is that if you ask Microsoft how to block it, BitLocker, okay, but it's ridiculous. There's a whole size of a horse in your operating system. Can you fix it? BitLocker. No, but like it's annoying, BitLocker. They won't say anything to you. They'll end the discussion as BitLocker. Because there's no way of building a secure computer without encryption, so basically they're right, in a way. You do need BitLocker. And then you can just hack that executable. So replace utilman, replace setHC, replace displaySwitch.exe, replace magnify.exe. There's plenty of those vulnerable executables. All right. What do we do with that? Not that much. Whoa. Sorry, I'm forgetting this. It's Friday. Good. So it's time to give back. There's slides that are given to us only a few seconds before the session, so I can't remember it. But anyway, let's see what happens. There should be some kind of a draw here. What's it going to say? 100 quickest to download this slide deck and click on the picture below will get a free Surface 3 Pro. Please do not do anything. You must know this is a joke. The thing is that I want to show you why you need UAC. PowerPoint is the way best thing to crack into any corporation. PowerPoints are awesome. So when you, bad thing is that they honestly will publish this on the website, and even I told them that it's scary and dangerous and don't put it out there, they probably will. So when you download it, it's good because you get a great example, but be careful. You must be doing what we're talking during this session. You can't be running admin rights and you have to be using UAC. Otherwise, when you click on some of my slides, you will not only get cracked, but your register will break down and the computer will not boot. So be careful, but it's a great example. So what I've done is an example. Okay, Microsoft PowerPoint Security Notice. That's nice. You must be stupid to press enable, I know. But you're the wise guys from your companies. You know you will not click that enable. And silently in my mind, I'm still quite sure there is at least one out of you 600 people who would have clicked it. But anyway, you know better, but your users don't. So what happens if you click it? Nothing happens because we're running UAC. So that's the good thing. Enable, you might see a quick command prompt and it says access is denied, but nothing happens. And that's the great thing about UAC. People think that UAC is not good because when you need to do something, the human gets asked if he wants to do it or not, so the human will always press yes. But that's not the thing. UAC is not built like that. UAC is not asking yes or no, although it's trying to destroy this computer. UAC is there to secure you. So let's run this without UAC. Windows P on my computer now asks if I want to duplicate or extend my monitor. Okay? Let's run this PowerPoint, but let's run it without UAC. So the same PowerPoint, but we have to start it up from an elevated command prompt. So as if we didn't have UAC. Yes? And we'll find this PowerPoint slide somewhere here. Security, let's shift right click, copy as path, and paste it here. So now we're running without UAC. And let's surf down to the correct slide. So we're here, F5, da-da-da, admins get black curtains, I don't know why. Let's go here, enable, and now you see the same thing happening, but it's actually saying operation completed successfully. But now the bad thing is that my computer is totally cracked, because if I press Windows P, I actually get a command prompt. And the bad thing is that it also works on my computer before anyone's logged on. So we're using the same techniques we used earlier, but there's no use of BitLocker. Because BitLocker is only protecting you from offline attacks. This is an online attack. I'm on the internet without UAC. BitLocker doesn't protect you against this one in any way. I can show you what the PowerPoint looks like. So let's log on. It's a simple one, and it will never be caught by any anti-malware system, because the bad thing is that it's only running internal code. So this picture here has a hyperlink. When you hover over with your mouse, it will just do a reg add command. So it will add the registry key to display, to replace the display switch.exe with a command prompt. So it's totally internal commands. There's no way of you being able to protect against it with an antivirus. Okay? So you need to have UAC. It's good for you. I do meet a lot of people who don't like UAC, but you really need it. Why no admin rights for end users? Let's see. So I've got my computer here, which is also part of a domain, but here we have a domain controller for this virtual machine as well. So let's try to use this. What I'll do, I'll actually turn on a policy, RDP on. Okay. Whoop. Is it turned off? Link an existing GPO. Out of date. Refresh and try again. I thought I did it. Let's do a new one. Same name. Come on. Don't start these demo effects now. RDP on 2. Okay. And let's put a policy in place. And the policy will be to force access with RDP to our company computers. So let's go for Windows components and remote desktop services and remote. I really like it when they change this. So it's session host and connections. Yes, okay. So allow users to connect remotely by using remote desktop services. Enabled. Okay. And after I've done that, let's go to the client and see what it looks like here. So now he has admin access. So sysdm.cpl, that's the, system properties, and remote. And he's able to block our administrators from accessing this computer with RDP. So we want to prevent it. That's why we put the policy in place. So let's just do a GP update. And no, you don't need to GP update /force. I actually went to a local high school in Finland. They had this help desk, but the door didn't say help desk. The door had a sign that says GP update /force. Seems to fix every problem nowadays. Okay, let's go here. And oh no, it's grayed out. I teach group policy and Active Directory as well, and I hate two things. One, people saying that you need to run GP update /force. And the other one is people saying that group policy gray things out. Has nothing to do with group policy. But anyway, okay, so now we know that this is probably due to a group policy because it's grayed out. But if I want to get rid of it, they have this great Excel sheet on the Windows website. So you can download Windows group policy settings reference on a certain search engine. It takes you straight to this, and the other one takes you to group therapy, but I won't tell you which one. So let's find the value from here. So there was allow users to connect remotely. Allow users to connect, something like that. Okay, allow users to connect remotely by using remote desktop services. But the great thing is that this document will also registry key. So you can see it up here. So that's the actual registry key here. Okay, now we know that. So what we'll have to do is, let's just go to the computer here. Let's start regedit. Yes. And we can find it here, HK Local Machine, Software, Policies, Microsoft, Windows NT, Terminal Services, FD90, yes, Connections, Delete, yes. And let's go to the computer properties again. And now we can change it back. So now the local administrator is a person that group policies can't control. That's the one, the first rule in the security book of Microsoft. There's no way to use group policy to control local admins. The thing is that they will always find a way to get around it. Now people say to me that, yeah, the thing is that now you just wait 19 to 120 minutes. I'm always fighting against the Active Directory people at the company. I'm showing them this and they're like, come on, we're going to win you. 10-0, no worries. So 19 to 120 minutes by default. We will get a GP update, but the thing is that nothing will happen. I hope most of you know it. Basic working of a group policy client. So there's nothing happening. Although the GP update goes, it will never come back. Actually, if you haven't changed your Active Directory policies, it will never come back. Before someone goes and changes the policy on the Active Directory side, you need to tweak the policy so much that the version number changes, and then it will come back. But otherwise, this will never come back because GP update slash force is never run on a computer, except for security policies every 16 hours. So GP update slash force would fix it. So if you want to be super secure and you want to fix this, you can always go and change your group policy settings. So you will do group policies configured with group policy. So group policy, system, group policy, configure registry policy processing, enabled, process even if the group policy objects have not changed. Now, in 60 minutes, this would be fixed. And on domain controllers, in every 5 minutes, this would be fixed. But now you're tackling with great management against usability. Because if you've got lots of policies, your logons will be longer now. Because it will have to go through every single policy on every single logon. So there's a reason why it's not on by default. But for example, military use, they always use this. They've got every single group policy client-side extension reading all the policies every single time because security and manageability is more important than usability. So don't give users admin rights, that you could guess. And the other one is change your group policy settings if you really want to be super secure. Test it out before implementing. Might honestly change your logon times from 20 seconds to 4 minutes. So you have to test it out. Don't go back to home and tell that some järjestelmävalvoja from Finland told you that you can use it. Too few levels of admins. One really common mistake with administrators, people using too little levels for administering. So if you are a domain admin, then you need at least 3 accounts. You need to have a normal user account for reading email, you need to have a user account for administering workstations and member servers, and then you will have that's the minimum. And then you will have the third, which will control the domain. So Mr. User here has already got all power that he needs on his computer. But now he needs to get more. So he will use an old trick with a new way. So first he will go here and make sure that the computer allows remote connections. Okay, apply. And then what we'll do is we'll actually use a task schedule, use a scheduled task, which is the only inbuilt Windows tool that can bypass UAC. That's why we are using it. You can see other people doing these demos with a bit different mechanisms, but this is the one to use because this is the only one that can bypass UAC. So what I'll do is, this will be called HUHA, which is something like bogus in Finnish. It will be run with the highest privileges. That's the only single thing that can bypass UAC in Windows, that little box. Run with highest privileges. That's the reason why Lenovo, HP, Dell, Samsung have changed from using their agents' startups from the startup folder to scheduled tasks. The reason is this. It'll be run by our administrator. Now, this is the security hole, if you ask me. You couldn't do it in XP. Because now when I put here that I want to do it with Mr. Admin, or I mean Mrs. Admin, so let's go locations, entire directory, and let's change it to admin. And let's choose admin, and press OK. And if I press OK now, it will not ask for a password. The older versions did. Okay? So let's put a trigger in. Let's say that when someone logs on to this computer, at logon of any user, we will run netgroup command. So new, the command will be netexe with parameters of group, domain admins, Mr. User, add domain. Okay? Let's go, let's check it out. Netexe, group, domain admins, user, add domain. Okay? Now let's okay that out and let's log off the box. Okay? Then let's go to the domain controller. And let's first see our domain user. So here we have Mr. User. Who I forgot to take off the group, or I already ran it, actually. Probably had the scheduled task in place. Let's see it live, because I logged on again with him. Okay, so there's user, and now he's only part of the domain admins. You saw him in the first demo when he couldn't change the clock. So he couldn't change time, so that's he wasn't a domain admin. So that's because I probably forgot the task in place after the last demo. So that's domain user, all right? And then what we'll do is just call the IT department. This is Mr. Laiho calling. I'm honestly in front of about 400 or 600 people right now, and my PowerPoint is not working, so I'm going to tell them bad jokes in Finnish for a while. And then can you please just RDP into my computer and try to fix the PowerPoint so I can continue with my presentation? Thank you, bye. And then we hope they just take the bait. Okay? So let's go demo client, admin, query one, let it log on. And now it's logging on, and this always takes so long that I'm sure I have a demo effect. It has done this to me about 10 times when I've done this in Finland, so I know it should be working, so we have to wait for a second. And I'll tell you a lousy Finnish joke. So I was honestly in a conversation just before I came here with some people that said that they were talking to Finnish people at the country drinks. And they think that if they approach Finnish people, they have to start to always talk, because Finnish people are really introverts. That they don't start talking, but you have to start talking. But do you know how you know if a Finnish guy is an introvert or an extrovert? If they're looking at their own shoes, they're introvert, and if they're looking at your shoes, they're extrovert. Okay, we're now logged on. Hopefully the joke did the trick, so user and member of, and now we're back again, domain admins. Okay. Then they'll call me back. Hello from the IT help desk. Your PowerPoint seems to be working fine. It was probably just a glitch. We rebooted the computer and now it's fine. Go ahead and try. Okay, thank you. And now we're a domain admin. So, how to prevent it? At least three levels of user accounts for domain admins. You need to be running three levels. Or if you want to be always on the secure side, with Windows 8, you have a new thing which is not that much advertised. So MSTSC, the remote desktop connection, has a parameter of restricted admin. Let's try actually this so you can see it here. Restricted admin. This one. If you run that, that won't happen. You will have domain access on the box you are remoting into, but if you do anything to the network, it will use the system account, and the system account will not have any access to the domain admin's group, so that won't happen. Okay. But I still say you need the three levels. So, why UAC is not enough? That's another thing I end up against. It's the thing that people say that I'm running an administrator on my local box, but I have UAC, so that's enough. I had a Microsoft guy that told me once that no, it's good that you have UAC, so you can be an admin on your own box because you have UAC. But UAC is not enough because of silly stuff like this. So I guess quite many of you should be familiar with this one when we look at how it looks internally. So it's not a USB key, it's a, who knows what it is? Rubber ducky? Yeah, correct answer. So those are rubber duckies. These have been around for years now. Rubber ducky is a small USB key enclosure that has actually a multimedia card reader inside it, and it pretends to be a keyboard. So it can type anything with the keyboard. And now the bad thing about USB is the fact that if you use UAC is that if you run UAC, you get this grayed out background, and everyone is telling you that this is called the so-called secure desktop. Secure desktop means that the program who asked for the permissions can never press yes. So they're running in different sessions of Windows, so they cannot interact. So the command prompt who asked for the permission cannot press yes. And that's a really important thing in UAC. Now the malware cannot just press yes using auto IT or something like that. You can't just use the keyboard to click it. Okay? But you can use it with any HID device, meaning human interface devices, mouse, keyboard, voice, touch, anything that you use to interact with the computer. So that's why we can bypass UAC. But the thing is that that's old school, so that's old news. The bad thing is that my PowerPoint is not working. Now it is. So the bad thing is a bad USB. So it took me about 16 destroyed USB keys before I got it working, so it's not easy to do, and I'm quite good with electronics and I'm quite good with Windows, but it still took me a long, long time to make it work. But now the bad thing is that a few months ago they announced on GitHub the new source code and instructions on how to hack any firmware on a USB device. So you can do the same thing that a separately sold rubber ducky wood, but you can now do it with any USB, that you can replace the firmware on it. And that's the reason why I said on my BitLocker session that USB 3 rules, or at least used to. Because now you have to be a bit more careful than you ever were before. So what these devices do is that they can use the keyboard, they can use PowerShell to... the funniest thing I had was... I was trying this out, and I made a PowerShell script that changes your computer to a wireless access point. So you basically go to a computer, you plug the USB key in, and then you can later just use it remotely through the wireless. And I've got the source code from Rubber Ducky's forum, but the forum had it, and it had a typo. So I looked at the code, it looked very good, and I found the typo, fixed it, got it working. It was awesome. So I went to the forum and wrote, super happy you did the script, looks awesome, you had a small typo in, below you can find it fixed. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it still scared me because the guy replied to me with a one-liner saying, I am sorry, I'm only 11. He might have been a funny guy. But still, although I know that he might be lying, I was still like, oh. Okay. What we're going to do this, we're not going to use bad USB. We're first going to tell you what to do to prevent it. First of all, you always use limited user accounts. It's not enough to have UAC in place. UAC will not be enough to protect you. You need a limited user account. If you think about the device, that's the most important thing. If you want to honestly be super secure, you use tamper-proof devices. I've got iron keys, epoxy-filled USB keys. I got Lockit, the same thing with a PIN code on it. Use devices that are tamper-proof, because at least at this time of writing, the thing is that you will need to break these apart. You can't just plug it in a USB port and just magically transform it. So use stuff that you know that haven't been tampered after they left the factory. But you trust them not to be tampered with. So still, you do need the fact that you are not going to be running admin rights on your box. Because when you stick any of these in your computer, if you're not running an admin, you're secure. You might end up sending files outside, but if we talk about actually compromising the Windows security in the computer, you will need admin rights to do it. There is not a single one that uses limited rights as of this day. Okay? What we'll do is we'll actually, I've got some info there, so go read it. There's a good article on ZDNet. There's videos on how to do it. There's also the company that has announced the instructions on GitHub called Psyxon, something like that. And another YouTube video about how to build one. I'm not going to use it with the USB key because that's boring. What I'm going to do it with is I'm introducing you a bad mouse. This is even better. Basic, same principle, but nowadays you don't have to destroy the whole mouse to do this. Before you had to destroy the mouse and put the USB hub in it and then put the rubber duggy inside. But now what you can do is you can just actually hack the firmware. So let's see what this does on my computer. And I have to be really careful that I do it on my virtual machine because it's using the keyboard. So if I have the wrong window in focus, it'll just toast my machine, which is not bad because it's the last session of TechEd for me. But I'll tell you, I've done it quite a few times. So let's see what happens. So we'll need the... I'll tell you, it's a bit experimental, so even I'm a bit interested in how this goes. So let's go in with an administrator that has UAC, okay? CMD, we've got UAC, cool. We're not gonna click yes here. What we'll do is we'll just leave this here and... we'll have to full screen this because otherwise bad things will happen. So let's go here and let's say full screen. Okay, now let's log on. Okay, that looks better. USB mouse. And let's find a port. And you can see my mouse opening up command prompt. You can see it typing in Red Chat something with admin rights. So it's bypassing USC. The thing is that it actually didn't work. I saw it. It didn't work. We'll do it again because I want to make this work. You know why it didn't work? Because I made a bulletproof system for myself so it won't work with the Finnish keyboard layout. Let's try it again. There's no way you guys gonna crack Finnish computers anyway. So let's try it again. We should have a US keyboard now. And now be careful. Look and see what happens. I've done it really slow, so you should be able to see what it does. What it did was it actually changed one single registry key. And now let's restart the computer. And it did something I do a lot for my friends, which is change the ACPI service to disabled, because it will disable the Windows power management interface, so it will blue screen instantly, and there's no way of using this machine. The coolest registry key out there. It can't even do a memory dump. It's too early. But I've got one mouse that disables BitLocker. That's cool as well. So just make them plug the USB key in, and it'll, or USB key or mouse in, and it'll just install. I mean, disable BitLocker. So it's just manage PD, the command. It's as easy as that. So just disable BitLocker from the C drive. Whatever you want, you can do whatever, because you can bypass UAC. Okay, it's not booting. I know. I've done it. I actually haven't done it with the mouse before because I built this last night. So I've done it with the USB keys a lot, but not with the mouse. So that's why I was a bit worried, but it worked out like a charm. So I'm super happy. There's the blue screen, and it's just spinning around, okay? So whitelisting software, the last thing. Use AppLocker. Remember to audit your installations. Let's go through one single demo. We've got about 10 minutes left, so we can just barely make it. Let's go here, and I just toasted my machine. That was wise. Let's revert it. That's quicker. So what I'm talking about is AppLocker. We've got the user here, so what I think we could do is let's make sure he's not an admin anymore. So let's take the domain controller and let's go to user and security. Oh no, sorry, member of. And let's take him away from the domain admins group. Yes. Apply. Okay. And let's go to the demo client here. Let's log on with user. And let's see. What kind of rights does he have now? So, because I reverted the machine, I'll have to make sure that he's not an admin. Yes, he's not an admin, so he has UAC here. Okay, good. Now, the bad thing about not running admin is these nice softwares that you see here. So, for example, Firefox. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Firefox, TeamViewer, both are great examples. Chrome, Spotify. So, Firefox is the most common example in my company. So when we start installing Firefox, Firefox actually first extracts the installer, and then it will ask you for admin password. So if you don't have admin password and you say no, it will install without. So that's just a great example of software trying to be great for the customer. If you don't get to use your admin rights, we'll just make them work without. Okay, same goes for TeamViewer. If you haven't tried TeamViewer, use it for auditing your security. A normal user can give full graphical access inside a company network very easily. So even if I don't have admin access, I can just open up TeamViewer and just tell it to run only, so it doesn't install a service. It's for personal use, of course. And you will have a TeamViewer connection opening up, although this computer doesn't have internet connectivity, so I will not be able to remote into it, but you can see it starting down there. Here we go. TeamViewer is installed. Well, kind of running, not really installed. So to get rid of this stuff, then you go to gpedit.msc. Let's do this locally only. You need to be running a service called Application Identification Service. As you can see, I'm not running admin rights. I just wanted to prove you that. Let's try again. Okay, so we'll go here, Windows Settings. I've already started the background service called Application Identity Service, App ID SVC. And then I'll go here to Application Control Policies. I will show you both the ways to hack this and how to install it. So AppLocker, let's first turn it on. Properties. And let's say that it's enforcing rules, so I won't be allowed to run executables that I don't whitelist. Okay. And then let's go to executable rules. There's some basic rules there which say that only administrators can do whatever. And then everyone is allowed to run things from program files or Windows folder. So that's great. Okay. That's there in place now, which means that if this guy wants to run Firefox, system administrator has blocked this program. And only have three rules in place, so an easy one. You need more rules than three, of course, but you shouldn't have 8,000, that's what I mean. What you do is when you don't have admin access, you think about it. You have a normal user, and I'm only allowing you to run software from program files, Windows, and that's it. That's a good thing to start with, but it's not perfect. So you need this internal tool called access check, because Windows has holes in it, as we know. So let's go to command prompt. So we can run stuff with the administrator, and then we have sys internal tools here. So we'll do an access check of write permissions for normal users in C Windows. Okay? So it'll go through the Windows folder, see if Microsoft made a mistake of giving a normal user, after all, some write permissions in the Windows folder. So there's actually three folders that can be written to. So now it's super easy. So we'll take a command prompt without admin rights. So Mr. User again here, and he will just do copy. Let's try, for example, a sysinternals tool. So sysinternals, let's try to run zoomit. Program is blocked by group policy. Let's copy zoomit to C Windows tasks, for example. Zoomit runs perfectly. So the things that Microsoft tell you that are like the very good default rules, you will have to go through those and make exceptions. So AppLocker is not bulletproof by default. You have to do exceptions as well. And if you want to, just as the final thought, if you want to scare yourself, you can, of course, go and do this as well. So put S, so it will be recursive. So it will go through the subfolders as well, because the list gets, sadly, a bit longer. So there's a few more exceptions you have to make. Yeah, it won't be done in 4 minutes that we have time, so we can just let it run, but it's not that long. But anyway, there are exceptions. So AppLocker is perfect, but you have to be aware how it works, and you always have to audit your environments. So access check is something I run every 6 months anyway against our images, just to figure out, because programs open up program files all the time without telling you. So you have to make sure that every once in a while you go through that there are no holes. All right, so we're out of time, basically. We have a few minutes. Please follow me on Twitter. That's at Sami Laiho. Remember the evals. The competition is very, very cruel now. So please remember to do the evals. I'll show you the last one. I have no more sessions. So the last thing to show you is this slide with the QR code. And with this, thank you for this TechEd.